All right, guys, welcome back. EYL, Hometown Heroes
edition. Definitely a hometown.
Hometown Heroes edition.
914.
That's a fact. So if you've been listening, if you're a loyal listener to us, if you're
914 by marriage.
718.
By association.
If you're a loyal listener to the Earn Your Leisure platform, you know that we hip-hop heads, we really grew up listening to rap, and it really influenced us a lot. A lot, probably more than anything
more
else.
More than anything,
us.
For sure.
So, you know, coming from Westchester, 914, of course, one of our major influences is none other than the Lox. That's like, we grew up on the Lox. That's
thank
a fact.
Thank you.
Yo, mid-90s kids, that's all we had.
Yeah.
That's all we had. I'll never forget the first time I heard UOC. I was like, yo, they're from where we're from? Yo.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't too many. I mean, you always had Pete Rock, CL Smooth.
Shout out to them.
You had Heavy D.
Yeah, rest in peace.
Brand Nubian, for sure. But yeah. They're a little older than us. So, like, growing up, like, you guys, DMX, of course. Can't forget about the dog. But
not at all.
It was a big deal. So, this is big for us. This is something that we definitely looking forward to, the interview. Styles P, the ghost.
Love
none,
is love.
None other. And Ajua.
Yes.
Styles.
Yes.
I'm glad. I get very nervous when I pronounce names.
That's a fact. He always say, Troy, pronounce it for me.
Yeah, my name is Rashad Bilal. Always, people always call me Rashid. They just butcher it. So
well, I'm a man. I'm Anjouar half the time. So.
I know how it feels. So first and foremost, we want to thank you guys for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Love is love. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about a variety of different things because you guys are entrepreneurs and this is an entrepreneur business platform. But first, I want to start where it all started for you, Styles, in the music business. And I feel like, interesting when it comes to music because there's not too many artists that, what, like 25 years you've been in the game or something like that, probably?
Yeah, just about.
Like, so it's almost
a very, very long time.
It's almost three decades. So it's not too many artists that have actually transitioned for that long period of time. So you came in Bad Boy Records.
Woo. Yeah, 96, I would say. 1996 is... Yeah, my professional
debut.
Yeah.
So how has things changed? Because it's like, I feel like you came in young and obviously you probably like all artists, you don't really know the business, but you learned the business as you go. So like, how has the music industry changed in your opinion from the 90s when we was having $1 million videos and all that to now, you know, it's all about.
It's changed tremendously because times have changed. I mean, It's bound to change because everything about it has changed. How you lay music, how you can send it, how fast you can send it. You know, it wasn't Pro Tools 12 or whatever we on right now. Mm-hmm. Those, you know, it started with reels and things of that nature. And then times just kept advancing. So I think things have changed because, as you said, like when we were coming in the game, you guys loved us because you knew we were from 914. Mm-hmm. It meant something. So I think where you know, people were more touched by where people were from when they got to hear their music, and it was more like you're invested in the story now, as to where now, with the internet, you know, people know where they're from and love where they're from, but, you know, New Yorkers may sound like a South dude. You may hear a bunch of New York dudes who don't sound like they're from New York just because they have the reach and access to everywhere else in the world now. Like, you know what I mean? So I think that alone... And just technology and how much money has been made and how big the industry changes it all.
I think one of the things that's commendable, and yeah, you've been in it for 25 years, but y'all been a group for that long. We don't see that in hip hop. We don't see guys sticking together. I know one of my favorite lines you ever said was like, every man's the head of the group.
Yeah.
And y'all stuck by that. But at a certain point, I think you probably, maybe the forefront of it, you had an independent situation.
Yeah.
And was preaching that. Is that because of business deals that you've had? Obviously, the Bad Boy era and the transition?
I mean, just because you're in a group don't mean you all have to visualize and see everything the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're a group, and, you know, we keep our what goes on in between the group, as far as business goes. I like independence, and I like majors. I just don't like working for people. I like working with people. I don't really have anything against the majors. It's just when you on a major as an artist... You know, it gets difficult. You know what I mean? So I'd rather do business with you and work with you than work for you. I'm not good with working for people. You know what I mean? So when you go independent, your life is more in your own hands and you're in more control. And, you know, but with With that, I've learned how to do business in the majors and learn, all right, if I'm going to go work with the majors, I'm going to do a partnership and not just be an artist. Like, you know what I mean? So I think it's a fine line between what makes you comfortable as a person.
Well, when did that, because I obviously, like Steve Stout, everybody's talking about owning your masters now. That's like real popular.
Yeah.
So you guys was early on that. Obviously, the issue with Bad Boy, whatever, as far as, but at one point, I guess you had to realize, like, you didn't own your masters. It's important to own your masters. A, for like up and coming artists and creatives, how important, because we hear about masters a lot, right? But like as an artist, how important is it actually to own your masters? And when did that actually trigger in your brain? Like, yo,
I think when anything you do, that's like, you want to own it if you put your time and your effort and your work in, like, you know what I mean? Like if you start somewhere or you start anything, that the end object is for ownership, to have ownership of something, to have some kind of equity and power in the equity of whatever business you're involved in. So I think once you start getting to the numbers of how it's crunched down in music, you start understanding it's a small part of the scale. But then it's also a flip side to it, because it really depends on what type of artist you are. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And what you want to do. Like, what are you in it for? What are you trying to do with it? So it's like, you know, I think it's a broad conversation when it comes to saying, all right, I want to own my masters. We've been around for a lot of years, so it makes sense for us to want to own our masters. It makes sense for everybody to want to own their masters. But a lot of people, you know, it takes a lot to learn the music game. Like, you know what I mean? And as it goes, I think people still don't know what's going on.
How'd you learn it? I'm still learning.
Everything in life with me is a constant learning process every day. Like, I never know enough. Just knowing I don't know enough and I need to learn something new, and having a wife that always reminds me that, you know, you want to be around smarter people, the people who know more or people who are more experienced, people you could gather something from. So I can't break down to you in real terms how streams work right now. And I don't think most artists can. I don't think most of the people who own the streaming business can. Like, you know what I mean? So it's something we get adapted to and acting like we know a lot of things. Like, if you see how thick a record contract is, unless you're a lawyer, how would you ever know that record contract? Right. So the best thing is now learning the power of renegotiating and being able to deal with different people, and then being able to say, okay, I don't know. Like, I like to tell someone straight up when I don't know something. But I know someone who does know, and I'm not the person you should jerk. Because I will double and triple check just to make sure, because I don't know. But I think with any business you're in, you have to know you never know enough, and there's more you can learn. And I know that from being married and just like, all right. You was all right with that. But,
watch it.
You know, you was all right with that, but you got to move on. And that's not just for work. That's kind of with life in general, like, not to be funny, but like that was this morning. Like, it was like, all right, you go over certain things and you have to put it in play in your life. And that's pretty much how it works for me.
Adriel, I want to ask you a question. Yeah. So we hear all the time, you shouldn't mix business and family.
Okay.
Like, you shouldn't work with especially your spouse. It's kind of difficult to like be with somebody all day. It didn't work.
No, Shai, okay. You're always going to get us in trouble, man.
No, this is great.
Because I'm married. He's single. And I'm like, it's great, y'all.
I get it. No, but this is good.
But yeah, so I mean, I think that's important. Like, how does that work as far as the dynamic of you guys are business partners, but you're also life partners as well? Like, how's that work out?
Well, it's taken some time to get an adjustment. No, really, because initially you just go into it and then you realize, okay, we are actually spending a lot of time with each other. And then you, due to certain things that happen, you realize we actually have the same outlook at the end of the day. So it's like we'll go through certain things, but we know at the end of the day what our end goal is and what we want for each other and as a family. So, but it definitely gets challenging. And we, for the most part, I would say organize. And I ration the time. Yeah, and I plan it. You know what I mean? Like, some days I'll say, like, you should handle this. Like, we can't be around each other.
Yeah,
just the energy sometimes is just not copacetic every day. Yeah. So it just becomes, you know, understanding that we'll still have to see each other at the end of the day. So how we can, you know, delegate during the day to have a better, peaceful evening.
I feel like watching it from the sideline, like from the outside looking in. It's like, yeah, some people hire managers and some people have wives.
Well, this is true. You know, this is true because throughout, you know, even with his managers, I have a good, strong relationship with them.
Yeah.
Because we have to all work in, you know, with each other just to suit him. For the most part, suit him, but suit us. So that
must have been
a
conversation this morning.
A great harmonious marriage, because we need to have, everybody needs to be cohesive. And in order to do that, we have to be on the same page. So the relationships are very important, and I have to be involved with them. And not so much just to be controlling, but just so that everything's organized and I get the full scope on how to plan things, you know?
SP, I'm thinking, doesn't this make life easier, though? Right, when you got your life partner, help managing the life.
Yeah and no.
If it's the right partner.
Yes and no. No, even with the right partners, with the right partners, yes and no. It's because it depends what place and what space you are in life. To be honest,
true,
with you.
True.
Because it forces you to grow. Because some days she says things to me that I really don't want to hear, and it's like, I would say, constructive criticism, but that you learn later to be thankful for. Mm. But some days I'm not how I work, and she works, we have a lot of likenesses.
Right.
And then we have a lot of differences. So sometimes we're like this, it's like dealing with a mirror. Mm. It's like, so sometimes like she said, it's like, you know what? You do this today, I'll do this today, or you do this, I'll do this, and then we'll figure it out later. Because most of the time, she's more right than me, and I just don't like it.
No, he doesn't. But again, it's just,
I don't keep it a buck. Like, sometimes I like being right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I like,
even if
I
he's
like,
wrong, he likes being right, wrong. But hey.
So how did this come about? This is interesting, the Juice Bar, because so we in Yonkers, and shout out to Daniel. Put this together.
Greenberg Connection.
Is that your name? I don't know if that's your name.
We just found that out, right?
Yeah, that's a fact.
Depending on where you met him.
But now he made a good point, because he was like, you know, he's personally witnessed the community change once the Juice Bar opened. Like, people come in here, and it's part of their daily routine. Like, he said he actually saw the transformation happen. And he brought up a point that, you know, Yonkers, well, South Yonkers, where we are right now, is a food desert. I used to live in Baltimore, and I did a research study, and that's the first time I actually learned about food deserts. Yeah. I never really realized that it was, you just get used to it, but where it's strategically placed, where they're not like real healthy sources for people to get food, and then they have to spend more money on junk food, and then they like buy like groceries and like gas stations, and it's like all kinds of processed foods and all that. So how did this come about as far as, okay, you're a rap artist, and now you are opening a juice bar?
Well, this is a multiple answer in one. One, my wife here, I was on the road a lot, so she was telling me to eat better and just live better. And when I get home, I always ate well, you know what I mean? So, but like, I never knew what kale was until I know spinach and collard greens. I was like, what the hell is kale? So just from introducing foods to my life, and then also my partner, and Nigel, he had a juice bar on 125th, Fruits of Life. So just listening to her,
being on the road,
like, and trying to carry it outside, and then also looking for peace too. I was getting in a lot of trouble at the time on the street, so I was trying to look for a new hangout and look for some peace at the same time. And then from going there, just, you know, it was probably me, my partner and I, like my other partner Leo, and maybe 5 to 6 other customers at first. So I just started making it part of life. Like, if whoever wanted to meet me or see me wherever, I mean, like, just meet me on 25th at the juice bar, have a juice, eat. And then I lost weight.
To be honest with you, it got trendy.
Yeah, definitely. Lost
trendy,
weight,
you know?
Started changing, and I just started pushing it more. And then really was we were living pretty well. And so as we started living better, and moving to better places, and then just, like, also, like I said, I didn't even know what organic was until she told me. Like, so I lived a certain way for a long time, and still, I was like, organic. That sounded so foreign, and organic is just the right thing. It means naturally, and it's right form, untampered with. But that sounded so foreign to me. So from just, you know, hearing my wife going to the juice bar, and then noticing as, you know, making money, I was like, wow, how they live in other neighborhoods. And, you know, you think it's just the parks and the schools, But when you start getting to the supermarkets and walking down the aisles and start really paying attention, I started really just paying attention. And we started paying attention.
But the ultimate benefit for him was the benefits from it.
Yeah.
You know, so aside from all of that, like when you really start to see certain things heal and, you know, ailments heal and get better and your body start to change and turn around and respond to your new diet, then it's more of an incentive to keep going. So
yeah,
that
and
was
you
another,
spread the word.
Yeah.
And you spread the word.
In my mind, I was thinking like, because like I said, we've watched you grow up. Like this, we've watched it happen. So in my mind, I'm thinking like, what was the event? And now you're saying that your wife introduced it to you. So Ajwa, I'm wondering, have you always been on a healthy kick?
Yes.
So like you introduced it because this was already your lifestyle.
Yes. Yes. Now the thing about me is I was raised in a Rasta household. So that's Idol. That's, you know, no, what is it? Come on. Say no,
Idol
no.
is vital.
You Idol is vital, but the no fly.
That swims, crawls, walk,
that.
Farts, flies, or fucks.
That. So, and I didn't want to say that. So that's the household I grew up in, okay. You know, and I just kind of, you know, continued it when I got older. So when I got married and I had kids and I wanted them to eat healthy, that's how I, you know, cooked and so forth. And I think as we got older and developed as a couple and we were growing, we just tried to always do things better. Mm-hmm. You know, we're always trying to improve on something, especially if, you know, we, you know, get sick or the kids get sick or somebody responds to something negatively. We're always like, okay, well, we're not going to do that anymore. And let's just go do something else. So,
it's
you know,
to go.
He
it was,
adapted
it was
to it
so
easily
much things.
Because he had some issues, like he was hyper, he had eczema,
mm-hmm.
you had
post-nasal drip, cyanitis,
so when those things healed,
eczema,
and
bad
and
temper, excess weight,
stuck in the juice bar.
It sounds like the side effects of a commercial.
Yeah,
I remember when you lost a lot of weight, I remember seeing that you lost a lot of weight, and then Kiss lost a lot of weight too, and then Kiss grew hair.
I didn't even know. Guys are transforming in front of us.
That was ill. I'm like, yo, he was just purposely bald. Like the juices is like magical. But so whose idea was it for the strategic partners? That's another thing Daniel told me about. That was actually pretty dope when he told me about that. Like, I guess in each location you got like different partners.
Well, I in the juice bar, I really wasn't meant to be in a juice bar. I was forced by my partners, Nye and Leo.
Okay.
Like in doing it, they was like, I told you I used to visit the juice bar. Then, you know, it was his family's business. He was doing something else. And then he closed down. And then he just called me and then we kept in contact. Calling. He was like, nah, I'm opening another juice bar and you my partner. I was like, nah, I'm good. Because I was supposed to be a partner down there. He used to ask me. I was like, nah, I'm cool. Let me just, I didn't want to be invested in it because I didn't know enough. Like, you know what I mean? And I just really wanted it. People to feel good how I was feeling. So he was like, nah, for what you do, you got to be part of it. You in it. So I
the truth was people started coming because of him. So it was like a no-brainer for them.
So it just worked.
And then so
it was something I promoted. I was like the cheerleader for
so you got four,
for juicing.
Four locations now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have four locations and we have Pharmacy for Life, an online store. You know what I mean? Where you can get natural products like black seed oil, oil of oregano, sour sap, Irish Moors, B, C, D, E vitamins, things for your stomach. Just,
well, pharmacy is a little different. Well, it's a lot different, but it's like the sister company.
Yeah.
And it's just an extension of what we do at the juice bar, but it's more like we heal from a cellular level with supplements like sea moss and bladderwrack and black seed. And so everything that we have and we use that target specific diseases, they're, you know, they don't harm the rest of the body. You're healing essentially the rest of the body. So whereas if you do use, you know, traditional medicine, you're always affecting another part of the body most of the time by the medicine. So we just try to heal from inside out.
That's dope. So I mean, the four locations, obviously you've planted them inside of Black and Brown communities very intentionally to give healthy alternatives. And so I'm thinking, one, is there more expansion coming? And two, if somebody, you know, from Yonkers is like, yo, I want to get invested in this, what's the type of startup course that it takes to do something like this?
Well, what we say with the juice bar, what it is, this way it gets deep for this kind of business. We have a motto here. Like if you come, you see all our recipes are on the menu. We tell all our customers get their own juicer, get their own blender. So We make officers drink free. You know, a lot of city workers drink free, firemen, ambulance, mm-hmm. depending on, you know, the time of the year, what's exactly going on. We do things for the community. So a lot of people, a lot of things in the way we do it are kind of looked at as business, maybe not the wisest for some people, but it's worked and got us four locations. Right. So because we have a motto in here, like, nobody is as important as the cause in a company. Nobody. Like, not everybody who works here is as important as everybody, because it's a movement at the end of the day that's meant to reach households and families, that's meant to last longer than all of us, that's meant to go to the next generation, to the next generation. So it's more so of a movement where we just want people to feel and understand to juice up and get healthy. Even with pharmacy, we say, if you can't buy our products or don't want to buy our product, we have four juice bars. Everybody can't make it here. So yeah. We want people to see the menu yeah. and understand about juicing. So a person may not want to do business with us because our motto is we're going to make money.
Right.
But our job is to take care of our community first, and love is love. And
yeah, we're trying to get people to have it as a lifestyle.
Yeah, we want you to bring it home. You may walk into this bar.
Shouldn't be healthy eating yeah. shouldn't be an option.
And come from Ohio,
should be affordable and accessible. So.
Oklahoma, a whole nother state, a whole nother country is, and you may not be able to ever come back here. But when you're here, we want you to gather something, learn something, to bring home to your family that'll benefit you. Not because we're making money off of it, because we're benefiting, because you're benefiting. Mm. As a human being, just as a spirit, as someone alive, if your kid's good, his kid's good, and my kid may be in trouble, or his kid may be in trouble, if they're around your kid, they may do good.
Well,
and I think that's what it's
yeah.
about at the end of the day.
And you can't unlearn the education, you know?
Yeah,
so once
fact.
You take and learn the education, you can pay it forward, and it just becomes, you know, continuous. So.
Yeah.
Styles, let me ask you this. For artists, was you ever intimidated with business? Because I feel like a lot of times people, you know, it's like you might not be fully educated on business or investing, stuff like that. And it's like you practice your craft and you become great at your craft. But anything new is intimidating. Like, so were you ever like intimidated, not like scared, but were you ever like a little nervous or apprehensive about becoming a businessman?
I think eager. That kind of skips me. I have a desire, and when I see it, I want to get to it. I have a great wife that when something goes wrong, I get to speak to her. I get to speak to my homies. So intimidation, I would say, I get nervous. I get nervous about things. I get I'm a fidgety, panicky type of dude,
anxiety,
but not intimidated though. Okay. But I am fidgety. I am a worrier, but I'm also I'm very optimistic. I always feel like I land on my feet, and if I didn't, I wasn't meant to. So I try to go with that in my mind, because I'm not one to really get to. I'm from Yonkers, New York, and made it rapping. So that took a certain mind state from hearing, you know, before, and I'm sure with my two partners as well, before we made it, you can't imagine coming up as a youth and telling people you want to rhyme and being from here mm-hmm. and nobody ever making it. So all you hear is, nah, that's not going to happen. You should do something else. Nah, you know how many, if I were to listen to those thousands and thousands and thousands of no's and find something else to do or make sure you know what I mean, I wouldn't be here today. I'm not really good with intimidation.
Let me ask you a hip hop question. I always wondered this. Around that time, you guys came out and you was with Bad Boy, but then like right after that, X comes out, but then he's with Rough Rider. And then from my understanding, you had a relationship with Rough Rider, actually works your deal out with help work the deal out with Bad Boy. So
yeah, they were our management.
Why didn't you just go with Rough Riders to begin with, and not Bad Boy?
They didn't have what they had. Yeah. They didn't have what they had at the time. Yeah. They was our management, like, you know what I mean? They was our management, got us to deal with Bad Boy. Jimmy seeing what they was doing. They was working hard. They got X to Leo, like, you know what I mean? Then knowing they was our managers and got us to Bad Boys, and then knowing they was working with X and got him a situation, led to their situation at Interscope. So it wasn't, in the beginning, it wasn't no,
didn't have a situation.
Just be,
yeah.
It wasn't a situation to be on.
Okay.
Like, you know what I mean? So I don't regret ever being, I think a lot of people think we regret being on Bad Boy. Things happen. I actually love that I was on Bad Boy. That was Who would say they wouldn't
well,
be happy
all,
to be on
the so much you can learn from Chicago like, Bulls. There's a lot to learn from Puff.
That's a fair comparison. It was like the 96 Bulls.
That was like the Chicago Bulls of rap, bro.
What do you think? I mean, because, you know, it went left for a little
learning
bit.
The business. I think a lot of people don't understand. We did something, and I think they'll understand this probably when we're dead and gone and really sit down and go, holy shit, that's what really happened. We had a standard contract, bro. We had the standard music contract. Our contract was no different from...
What's the standard? What is that?
What every other artist had coming into the game. We didn't have a screwed up, more screwed up contract than
regular.
Every other artist that was out at the time. We just had the balls and understand it was stupid as fuck. Mm. And that every business, in any business you do, you always should have the power of renegotiation. That's something we understood. Like, okay, you sign a contract. You don't know the contract, but after you perform and you do a certain thing, you should be able to have a certain power of renegotiating. Mm-hmm. And I think we just had the balls enough to say that and understand and have confidence in ourselves enough to know that. And we was ignorant, too. And, well, me. I can't say we. You know what I'm saying?
Honesty.
Ignorant and egotistical, dealing with emotions at the same time of not knowing something's right. You become, you know, like I say, I'm not intimidated. I'm a firm believer in what I believe in. So, you know, it was more so like, nah, this ain't right. I'd rather go, you know, I can't just live with not doing something that I know in my heart.
I think that's the
not
beauty of
right.
It.
Like, you know what I mean?
We that's the beauty of it. Like, we got to watch y'all grow from that. Yeah. It was like, yo, we heard y'all on Hot 97 with that interview.
Right. Yeah.
And then we saw y'all reconcile. And now we see y'all working together still. It's like, yo, that's it. Like, most times we never get to see those two stages, right?
Yeah.
We always see is the flare up. We never see reconciliation. We never seen like, yo, we in the same fight together, which I think is beautiful. So y'all had to go through that so that we could see it and now know like, yo,
for sure.
Every man that head of the group, you know what I'm saying?
For sure.
Like, let's do this the right way.
For sure.
Yeah, it's one of these things where, like you said, I mean, you know, a lack of knowledge, young, you don't really have, how could you really know?
Yeah.
You learn as you go.
Right.
But I feel like artists now, it's been like 20 years, a lot of artists are still making the same mistake.
It's a different game, though. I can't say they're making the same mistake because of the amount of money involved and the way the system that's run. It's a whole different system. Like, you know what I mean? So when you in a, well, it's not all the way different, but it's a whole new system. And these artists, you got to think, if you coming from somewhere and you was poor or not well off or with no exact bright future, and then you see thousands of dollars a week or hundreds of thousands or now millions of a year. This kid, he has emotional stress already. Maybe ADHD or whatever. Pardon, I'm always mixing my letters. I don't know if I said it right.
You got it right. You got it right.
He may have ADHD, you know that. He may come from an environment where his parents didn't teach him right. He may not have had elders in his family that taught him right. So how can you really expect him to do well? Like, you know what I mean? You basing that off comparisons to societies where these kids have families, colleges, things in place and systems in place for them to succeed. So when you give somebody who wasn't meant to succeed just a shitload of money and they happen to succeed where most people don't succeed, they're going to run into some trouble. So whether it's happened to millions of people, It'll continue to happen because that's been the music business, not just rap. That's been music business, Hollywood, sports, entertainment. If you look all around the board, that's happened to a lot of people that were, you know, well off and come into a certain thing. It depends on who's around you, what you knew, what you learned. And, you know, if you have a good foundation, if you don't have a good foundation, and it's a lot of ups and downs.
So I can ask both of you, really. Now, do you feel there's a shift? I see that people are coming in. I saw young people coming in here. Are people more interested now to talk to you about business, or is it still like, hey, yo, can you listen to my song? Right? Are we still trying to go to the music, or people are looking at y'all like, yo, they went the entrepreneurial route. Like, can you be our guidance? Can you be my mentor type situation?
Well, I believe they definitely want to get healthy. That's all we do is talk about. Well, for me.
Yeah.
Constant conversations about health and understanding and trying to transition and wanting to just become healthier and understanding more of what we do and more of the products. So I don't even hear rap conversations anymore, really. It's like they always start with health, and they may kind of segue to something else, but they kind of always start with health for the most part, because somebody's always having an issue and they look to us as hood doctors. So they always, you know, need some sort of answer or some sort of help, so, which is cool.
That's
you know, we don't mind, you know. And again, it's each one teach one. So if you know the, if you have information and you can give insight, you know, to people and, you know, help them out, you should.
I definitely get much more health questions and health. Like, no, it's crazy. I always had a, before actually doing this, I always had an order, you know, God, family, hip hop. Mm-hmm. God's part of the family. So I always said it's family. Then, you know, then hip hop has been the most important to me. Health came, filled hip hop slot. Ooh. Because there's no hip hop without the health. When you really get the mind state and you get the understanding of what's really needed and what we have to do. That's why I said what we do is bigger than us. It's bigger than this brand, because it's actually what the brand stands for. But we all play part in, you know, the gentleman you seen here before you came in, the shift before that, the people in the other store, what we all do at home, Pharmacy for Life, because it's meant to go to the next place. So the health is bigger, because I think the community is starting to grasp that we need to survive, especially with, you know, dealing with pandemics, plandemics, racism.
Diabetes.
You know what I mean? Systematic racism. You know, high blood pressure, diabetes, cancer, stomach problems, ailments. You know, I think it's a point in time where you have to say survival is key. We're about survival. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. A lot of people, I think hip hop respects survival. And it hasn't been broadcasted enough before. Our guests are just in the light, which we're willing to do, to say this healthy shit is not a trend. It's not no corny shit. It's survival. It's survival for you and yours. And people get that, especially poor people, especially people who, like, whether it's, you know, it's not highlighted and it's trendier now, like it's getting, becoming trendy and a trend, but it's not highlighted and championed. When, like, you know, you test it for yourself. Do a post about some healthy shit, see how much reaction you get, and then do a post about some clown shit that means nothing, and see the comparison. So when you understand that, then you really understand the fight. And we understand what we're here for. So we could get miserable and fold up and get frustrated and be like, you know, understand, all right, this shit is the most important shit ever, because you can love me for my music and my bars may have touched you and got you through some tough times, but the knowledge that Juices for Life and Pharmacy for Life, you know, you could get from us is priceless. It could last for generations generations and generations. And we didn't invent this. Like, this ain't, like we always say, Juices for Life and Pharmacy for Life. Because people, you know, this ain't nothing we invented. This is something we just championed.
It's just, I mean, you've become, y'all really have become the messenger for it. And it's not like, it's not the avocado toast.
Oh,
like,
God,
get healthy.
No. Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. And it's kind of similar.
Avocado
toast,
all right, though.
No,
it's slamming. I love avocado toast.
No, I'm not saying.
With the red onions?
It's good, right?
Himalayan sea salt?
I'm just saying.
You know what I'm talking about?
Right. Well, it's the thing. We try to promote balance, too. Like, it's like we don't want to come off corny and, like, too dictating. It's more like, you know, we smoke weed, we drink, you know. But, again, it's about balance and understanding and acidic diet and your body full of acidity is just not good. And it's, you know, a breeding ground for a disease. So it's just more understanding balance and being happy too. So you have to, if it's not making you happy, you probably won't continue to do it, but it will. It will for the most part. So you'll find something in it that pleases you, that will be more of an incentive. So
you hit it. You nailed it.
Yeah, I was just saying, like,
she nailed it, because people, I think healthy people or people who look at health companies or health brands, like we consider ourselves a health family brand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not judgmental though. We just say, hey, do something good for yourself. Like, we ain't here to judge anything that's going wrong or whatever you're doing in your life. We just saying, hey, do something good for yourself because you deserve it. Not like, yo, you got to do this, you got to do that. To the community, yo, you got to do that. Now we're here for you. You want to take a ride?
Right.
You want to feel good about yourself? We got some information that helped us feel good that may work for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now we're not forcing it down your throat or saying, hey, you got to do this Are you going to do that? We understand what it's like. Everybody, you know, I'm a tree hugger, but I like fashionable shit. Like, you know what I mean? I like to have a great time.
Yeah. And a lot of things, too, you know, are embedded through tradition. So it takes a long time to kind of, like, you know, reverse that. So you might not even understand that you're living a certain way because you just are used to,
custom,
you know, with your family. So once you even understand that alone, it's like, wait a minute, so I've been taking this much sugar in this amount of year or this month or for this, whatever it is. So
in Fruit Loops this long?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a lot of things that they say is, like, hereditary. Is it really hereditary, or is it just your diet is hereditary? Like, your diet is
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But let me ask you this, because it's like, actually, me and Danny was talking off camera. We interviewed a young lady out of Atlanta who makes, she had a business where, you know, like, thousands of pounds of food gets thrown away every day. And so she made a business of, like, feeding the homeless with the food that gets thrown away. So it's what's called a B Corp. LLC, C Corp.
Right.
So a B Corp is a for-profit business for good. So I think that that's beautiful because it's like, we never apologize about making money.
Right.
The whole point of business is to make money, but you're doing it in a righteous manner.
Right.
So that's like a win-win for everybody, right? So as far as the business, I see a lot of opportunities as far as scaling. Like the online model, I'm glad that you guys are doing that because especially now during Corona, I feel like you don't have to have an online business to be successful, but if you don't have an online part of your business, I don't think it's going to be successful.
Even
if you got the best juice bar in the world, it's only a couple of mile radius that people are going to come.
Exactly.
So whose idea was it to go online, and what is your vision for scaling that, ramping that up?
That was her idea.
the vision is still, how should I say?
You're still working on the vision.
Still kind of.
Vision board is not complete.
Because honestly, we've only been up for about a year, and the response has been overwhelming. It's been amazing. Yeah. So it's just like we kind of got sat on our ass a little bit and kind of had to figure out what we're going to do because we didn't expect it to be as big as it's gotten. But I mean, as of now, we just introduced some new products.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to just listen to our customer more and go according to the times, like the COVID and so forth, and just, you know, really just provide what's needed and fill in the gaps. So we're not trying to be super, you know, crazed and it's not, again, about all the money per se. It's more so about providing and making sure they understand, because our community is funny because they really don't mind trying things, but they have to understand it.
Yeah.
They really want to understand it first, and which is, there's no problem, you know, with understanding it, we can break it down. But, you know, that's where the selling point comes in, because once you believe it, they believe it. So it works.
I think with the, and I also like to hit your point, I think with the young entrepreneurs, you have to do what you believe in. Like, the main, like, we, a lot of people want to be entrepreneurs or business people. But if you're not doing something you don't believe in,
right?
When you hit that rocky road, like, you know what I mean? When are you going to be prepared for it? Like, because if you don't love it, you may not want to continue to go on. Like, if you lose a chunk of money doing something, and, like, you have to be prepared for the bad as well as the good. Like, so you may lose time, you may lose money, you may lose friends, you may lose excitement, you may lose something in your life. And are you prepared to do that? So you have to make sure it's something you love doing, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just to add to that, the online business is also an offering because there's a lot of people that can't get to the juice bars.
Right, exactly.
And they're always like, they literally take trips. We've had school trips that come out to the juice bar when, you know, school.
That's dope.
Yeah, like it's a big public, whatever that is. Yeah, so with that being said, the online business, you know, it goes to everyone. It's international. Everyone can get it. Everyone can get at least one or two of our products. Sometimes we just send care packages out depending on people's issues. So, you know, we just want to make sure that it's available. Like the health, the supplements, the understanding, the education is all available, you know, and accessible for our community.
So is part of the scaling, like you said, you have the online business, but are you trying to license some of the products and put them in stores?
Definitely.
Absolutely. And we're going to get a hub here, actually, to distribute some products.
Distribution center in Yonkers?
Maybe Yonkers. Definitely 914 somewhere.
There we go.
Yeah.
Definitely 914. Yeah. We will have we'll be able to distribute, have people come in. like you said, the key to, I guess, what we try to do is live life, stay positive, inform our people, and kind of live how we want to live while we're doing it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The key to being an entrepreneur, like I said earlier, is knowing thyself. Like, you know what I mean?
And
knowing
your customer.
Knowing your partner, knowing your customer. So I, me and my wife, we discuss a lot of things as far as business and where we want to go pretty much
all
the time. Like, so we, you know, it's like saying, all right, here, we're doing this with Juices for Life, but where do we want to be? Sometimes you have to, this is a weird thing to say, like, she's smarter than me in certain areas. I may be smarter than her in certain areas. Now we have to combine up, see who's smarter where, and whip up a plan and say, okay, how does this smartness work out for our personal life? Besides business, for our personal life, how is this going to work for what we want to do personally? Like, where we want to go and what we want to do. Luckily, we share a lot of likenesses. Like I said, in a vision of the final end game is the same vision. Now, how to get there may not be the exact same way. So now you have to keep powwowing and keep powwowing and keep powwowing. No, which is a beautiful thing.
I'm not getting a positive.
No, it is a positive because
knowing that he's weak is when he's really being strong.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah, trying to definitely trying to grow. So understanding, like, you know, I didn't really have that idea of how powerful online was.
Okay.
Even being a musician, like, you would think I'm the guy in music in the family. So here I have her every day telling me with music and with the juice bar, all right, you're not using this tool to get here. And I'm telling her, I don't like this shit. I don't do this shit. That's cool. But you got to do this for that. So as I'm listening and learning, then I'm watching and seeing certain things that she's shown me, other things where it pans out in life. Yeah. And I go, okay. Now I see what you're saying.
Put the bag on the table.
Like, yeah, now I hop on board.
There you go.
Yeah,
this is the return.
Yeah, now I hop on board. I see what it is. So, you know, like, we had this. Then from us having this, I think when you in a family business or, I guess, in a partner thing, you keep building and growing off of each other. So, you know, I mean, her sharpness and her wit, I was able to see it and apply what I knew. In the game and say, okay,
but
if we
to be
do
honest
this,
with
we combine
you, I
that.
Follow him a lot because his work ethic is crazy. Well, so it's you kind of, or if you're around him, you're going to step your game up. So, period. You know, it's one of the reasons why I wrote the book. I wrote a book about, you know, our daughter that passed away. But
Ethereal Hike.
Ethereal
sure
Hike,
get
I'm sorry.
It.
But yeah, that's because, you know, he wrote a book. And I was like, well, I want to write a book too. You know, so he inspired me. So we do a lot of that.
Positive peer pressure.
Yes. Yes.
No, it's real. Yes. It's real. And, success by association. You always say guilty by association.
Yeah.
But you can be successful by association.
That's a good
facts.
One.
Mm-hmm. Positive peer pressure.
Yeah, like facts.
Nobody wants to be the dumbest kid in class.
Right.
No.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no,
like
not
if,
at all.
If you're in a room with all geniuses, you're going to try to be a genius.
Yeah.
The counter is that if you're in a room with everybody that's doing bad, it's going to be difficult to do good.
Right. Yeah.
You feel uncomfortable.
Facts. That's 1,000%. And I think that's also a part of a reason for our success is we don't give a shit about that uncomfortable feeling. Like, we're going to do what we feel is right. Like, once I speak to her about it and we speak back and forth, like, we both ain't going to agree to nothing stupid. That just ain't going to happen. Like, you know what I mean? Like, unless it's real, some personal and passionate.
But we're blind.
We're blind. We both ain't agree on nothing, going to agree on nothing stupid. Right. So from ponging back and forth, it's like you come up with better ideas. You come up with better shit and things, pardon me for cursing so much, but better ideas and, you know, better thought patterns and just a better way to move. Like, you know what I mean? And just to keep pushing forward for your company and what you want to do. Like, you know what I mean?
How you feel about, so I watched a video on Instagram. I think it was like a Yonkers town hall, but it was talking about gentrification. You had spoke at the town hall meeting, I think. So we talk about gentrification and it's happening all over. And I guess, you know, it's happening here too. And like where we from, Greenberg, small town, but it's like 90% black. And I was driving through today and we saw a Tesla dealership. And the Tesla dealership.
Yeah.
Used to be a not just car. It used to be like a corner store, right?
Yeah, Leslie.
So I told Troy, I said, it's over, man. I said, once Tesla moves.
That's exactly what we said. We looked at each other. We said property taxes going up. They got home values going up.
How you feel about that? Especially, like I said, here in Yonkers.
I didn't even consider all of that.
You spoke about that before.
This is so much of a long conversation to go in, so I'm going to try to put it in very short PowerPoints if I can. As a human being, as just a man, I feel it's okay if the other men and women you're doing it with are looking at you in that way and want to come in and embrace your community and the things that happen in your community and respect what's going on and how it's built. And then it also, if it's the people that's in the community are not the ones losing out and losing their property and now financially suffering. But that's how I feel as a man. But now how I feel as a black or brown man, that shit doesn't happen like that. And it's good because I want to see better things in our neighborhoods. I want to see better stores because we need to have Whole Foods where we live. Because our kids need to have a Whole Foods. So if their kids don't come in, then our kids don't get to get a Whole Foods. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And certain things. So it's cool in that note, but we need to make sure that we're eating. I think as long as they make sure that we're getting solid jobs and then the opportunity to make money to move into these places, then maybe it's cool. But I worry about the placement. I really worry about the placement. And but at the same time, I think the future we're heading to, or we're going to have to head to, is going to have to be a world where people are going to really have to be honest and figure it out, because I don't think that's going to work with how the racial tension is keeps gathering and keeps gaining and keeps gaining. So it's going to either neutralize it, or it's going to come to a boiling point that is not going to work for the country, and America is going to get looked at as an even more horrible place than it is now.
Yeah, it's a crucial time right now.
Very crucial.
You know what I mean? Especially with the pandemic happening, and that's why education is so important. And that's why we take very seriously what we do, because it's like we're going to provide education and give people opportunity. So when you said distribution, the first thing I thought was, yo, he's about to get jobs to his community.
Right.
More importantly than anything, like, yo, there's jobs coming.
That's what I mean. That's what the beautiful thing about here is. We hire, people get to get jobs here, and we get to get our community good. Even for the customers who you got to save a couple of dollars coming to get a juice instead of spending it on that bull crap and not feeling good. I think the key to it at all at the end of the day, because it's hard to look at from a certain standpoint of gentrification and say, what are we going to say to all the kids half black and half white one day? Like, at some point in time, this has to stop. But it has to stop when we fairly treat it, though. Until we get to a fair say and everything is right, then, you know, we got to keep fighting and pushing forward. Especially, you got to buy black. You got to buy black, spend black. And that don't mean don't spend white, but buy black, spend money in your community, spend with your people, support your people, do what you have to do.
I saw you posted that, Dr. Claude Anderson.
Yeah,
Powernomics.
I'm firm on that because people often, you know, like I said, this will be a long conversation. This goes since you headed there. This goes back to you say we pick a political party. We shouldn't even have to ask these questions and worry about that issue if we have political parties that's supposed to be running the country. How is that even a question that me and you and or even somebody white or me and you together with white people have to have? What kind of country are we in? So why are we running out voting and supporting whichever side it is to say it's still the same thing? You're still worried about gentrification. She's still worried about racism. You're still worried about systematic racism. I'm still worried about my kids going to school a certain way. We all still worried about walking outside and just getting shot from getting pulled over. Mm-hmm. Like, how really important are we in this country to keep running out and supporting a system that's been set up for us to lose in the first place? For me, the Constitution is damn near the engine of racism.
Three-fifths of a man.
For me, the Constitution is the engine of racism, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we get into that conversation a lot, and they're like, yo, it's not working. And in my mind, I'm like, no, it's working exactly how it was designed.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, I think to a point where we start to say and I think we'll be able to delegate with gentrification, reparations, racism, systematic racism, when you really could be able to have dialogue on a real skill without all of us and all of them being blind. Because we have a lot of us that are blind. And I'm not saying for you to vote, or if you don't see it my way, you're blind. That's not what I'm saying. If you choose to vote, or you, whatever you choose to do, I respect it, to each his own. But I feel like we're blind on understanding that hasn't shit
we
been
have
done
more
for
power, right.
For when is something going to get done? And I don't think the way that they keep going about it is the way. I just personally don't see that. Like, I don't see that change.
We have this
anytime
this,
soon.
We have this debate all the time, and a lot of people ask for equality. A lot of people ask for equity. But what we really should be fighting for is economic empowerment.
Yeah, like, now look what you said. There's power in what you said. A lot of people ask what we should be fighting for.
Right.
How are you going to, you can't ask your oppressor for anything.
Right.
Why do you keep asking?
That's the thing.
Why do you keep asking the oppressor for something?
Right.
You're oppressed for exactly. a reason. Yeah. He feels like you feels a certain way about you. That's why you're oppressed. And you're going to turn it around and go, hey, where's the equality, oppressor? Are you serious?
That's it.
Like, wake up. You got to wake up.
Yeah. So that's why I think what you're doing here is vitally important. I think what we're doing and a lot of others are doing is vitally important because we've created our own.
Right.
Right. Like, you've created this. We've created something. There's plenty of people out there that's created
this. It's a real way to feel empowered, too.
Right.
You know, to feel like you're taking some shit back from yourself, knowing that it's designed. The world and the place is designed to kind of screw you up. So when you kind of own your health and own your immune system and own your soul and your spirit, your mind, your body, soul, and spirit, you know what I mean? And get everything right and harmoniously working, that's you getting empowered and, you know, realizing that you can do something different. Just that, just with that alone. And then you can start to do all that other stuff. But, you know, it's just a good way to just say, you know, take my power back.
Yeah, we suffer, you know? a lot of times we don't fully understand issues that's going on in our community.
Right.
And we just sweep them under the rug.
Right.
Whether it's health.
Right.
Whether it's
mental health. Right.
Mental health, all that stuff. And it's like, it doesn't go away if you don't talk about it.
Right.
No. You know what I'm saying?
It just comes right back up.
Yeah, it doesn't really. Or if you self-medicate, you take drugs, you drink, you might feel different in the moment, but it's only going to make it worse. Because now you still got the same problem, but now you got all kinds of diseases that you cause yourself from taking these medications. So I wanted to ask you, Audrey, because you wrote a book.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, understand the tragedy that you guys suffered. But how was that as far as, like, writing a book? How did that help you as far as, like, you know, being an author and actually putting words on paper?
Okay, well, he's calling me an author. I know an author is like you literally have written a book, but I don't know. I'm just still weird with that title. But anyway, because I felt compelled to write, you know, from my trauma, from my tragedy. So it wasn't like, you know, I wanted to be a writer. You know, I just felt like the need to expel and express. And again, probably save my sanity to a degree, you know, because that was the only way to, I guess purge. It was cathartic because for me, it was like I couldn't really explain to anyone how I felt. And I didn't think anyone would really understand how I felt other than other parents that have lost, children. But it's still hard to articulate. So in the moment. So, you know, just in through grieving and trying to process it, I just was the best thing. And I also thought it would help people as well, you know, just me being open and honest about my experience. So
we're all parents.
Yeah.
So we applaud you for your courage and your vulnerability.
Yeah.
Thank
we all have trials and tribulations in life. My brother-in-law committed suicide.
Oh,
so you know, I understand how that feels, and you know, it's something that, like I said, I mean, you know, I definitely applaud you for speaking on that, because it's a lot more people.
Yeah.
Then you might realize. Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like it's like one of those things where it's like you think nobody, and then it's like, oh, a lot of people have a similar situation. And it's like, I think people find comfort in knowing that they're not alone.
And then again, it was for a lot of things, to be honest with you, not just for myself, not just to help someone, but it was also for my family. Because when you come from a family that doesn't like discussing things and talking about certain things, when certain things happen, it kind of is indicative to the, how should I say, the elephants in the room, you know, or things that we have seen and known about, but nobody kind of discusses. And not, you know, to infer like there was like a lot of mental illness or, you know, my daughter had mental illness or whatever, but it's just more so, I would say, similarities in situations that could have been, you know, we could have expressed and had more dialogue about. And that book actually forced dialogue because, you know, your family don't like talking about shit, especially stuff like that, because it's a reflection of the family, you know, or a possible, you know, or one side, because she wasn't his biological child. So, you know, you have the other family that you're dealing with, too. So you've got to take into consideration a lot of biological stuff. But, you know.
Pushing through, man.
Yeah.
And pushing through. And she was representing for our daughter at the same time.
Yeah.
I think especially with suicides and like we're a spiritual family. So we wasn't going to, you know, let other people's religious beliefs impact how we felt or carrying her memory. Right. Or because I think a lot of that's where a lot of it becomes a stigma in our community due to what you hear religiously about it. And makes family feel a certain way.
Right.
I think with us, we like, especially with, I've always had, and we've always had our own relationship with God, and we went off of that.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, and from actually being able to do that, and then we kept seeing signs and just getting other signs in life that show us what we was doing and how we felt was the right thing. So I think it's important to let people, especially in your community, with everything, I think just our whole living in general from, is letting people know you're going to always have trials and tribulations, peaks and valleys. As much as you want and need love, we're going to have to deal with pain as well. Mm-hmm. So know you're not alone in the whole journey. Like, you know what I mean? Like often, and what's crazy, we'll be, you know, we'll be in the houses. And this is where I've learned to pick up off of her strength and just you understand, like we'll be in the house and she would be sad. I would be sad. And then, you know, she would go, you know, what about the mothers and of people who lost their children who they never see again?
Mm.
Like, you kids kidnapped and you just don't see them. Or you, like, we
I mean,
started thinking of
silver lining,
other people,
you know, mm-hmm.
and the things every they
situation.
Go through. And it keeps you like, oh,
somebody,
wow. Like, you know what I mean?
The worst situation, yeah.
There's somebody right now who got an infant snatcher who won't, like, you know what I mean? And like this. So you have to just keep in mind that we all go through pain and keep pushing and kind of represent for your loved ones.
Yeah. I remember,
you know.
The first, I mean, speaking of vulnerable, because it was like, listen to you in the 90s, it was like, yo, that's your favorite rapper's favorite rapper. He's at the hardest bars. And then the Gangsta Gentleman album, my favorite song was My Brother.
Yeah.
And then when I heard, I couldn't stop listening to the song. I'm like, yo, wow. I see another side of him. Now.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you talking about, yo, right. I can smile because I know you're right next to a little.
Yeah, I share the pain, man.
You know
I share the pain and joy. Well, I try to let people know about the pain and share the joy.
Well,
you know?
I feel like that's all great artists. Share their pain, whether it's Eminem with his mom, whether it's Nas with his issues that he's going through with his wife, things of that nature. I just feel like Tupac, I feel like in order to be a great artist, you have to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we saw Beyonce's Lemonade, Jay's 444.
Yeah, exactly. It's part of artistry.
Yep.
I think
are you calling me a great artist?
You're for the record?
Yes, you are.
For the record?
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are. Yes,
you are.
Don't worry. Like people say like that we're journalists. I'm still struggling with
that. Okay, right.
Yes, don't worry about
it. You are.
No,
right,
but
okay.
You know what it is? She is a great artist because she made design cakes for years that people went crazy over. So
before anyone was doing it.
Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
And art
sculpted
art,
beautiful art cakes.
Art is subjective too, because it's like, you don't necessarily have to be an artist to be an artist,
right?
Like, you know what I'm saying? You can
exactly.
Like, I think LeBron James is an artist.
Yes.
How he can maneuver on the court. Like,
that's art, definitely.
Styles. One question before we wrap. The marijuana industry, billion-dollar industry. We got a chance to interview Al Harrington. Good guy.
I want in. I'm getting in. You ain't even worry about that.
Al's on his way.
Yeah,
Al's on his way.
We getting in.
So how did you get involved in that?
I'm just a pothead, bro.
I know. Heard the song, bro.
I love pot, man. I told you, do what you love.
They got you as a top five most requested songs when Wild High.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I'm a pothead. I love the feeling. I really feel pot is a big part of healing too, and it's got a bad rap. For years, like, you know what I mean? it has a stigma, and I believe that's because the government did that intentionally, mm-hmm. with purpose behind it. But
of course,
you know, as far as the marijuana industry, I'm definitely
pro.
Yeah, I'm gonna be in there doing. We're gonna be in there as a family doing what we need to do. Is definitely part of the health industry. Something I'm a connoisseur and an expert in. So yeah,
outside, obviously in a different state, because New York.
No, I'm away from New York. I'm gonna do what I gotta do. I'm gonna be out of state, and I'm waiting for New York. It's coming here.
That was part of the game he put us on. He was like, "Yo, it's so." He's from Jersey, obviously. Yeah. And he was like, "Yo, to do it in New York is so crazy. Like, you gotta own a farm for 20. There's so many regulations. I'm like, own a farm for 20 years.
Even that's an issue. Going back to the racial thing, and Al actually broke it down to us where it's like 1% of the marijuana industry is owned by black.
Yeah, that's it. That's 1%. It.
So it's like
that's it.
You know, you got people in federal jail that's serving 15, 20, 30 years for marijuana, and it's like now it's legal, but it's still not. The black entrepreneurs are not able to benefit from it. So it's always an issue.
That's
so,
I mean, and then took the words right out of my mouth. I think it's going to come a time where this is what I say, because I think all they're going to have some kind of intelligent black leader meeting one day and come up with a black leader representative that's going to deal with everybody else outside of the box that we've a group. I think it shouldn't even be one.
Yeah, it can't be one.
I think it should be a group of representatives that's representing black and brown people across the world that's gonna step up and rise, because we keep falling into the same trap. You're gonna run out. You think Biden's gonna change the marijuana laws for black people in all of the interstates, or Trump?
You know,
either one of them. Do you think that's possible for what happening at all? Do you think either one of them is going to make sure police are going to pay if they kill a black citizen? Either one.
No,
but that's interesting.
Here we go. But you know what? Shout out to 19 Keys. He said something on our podcast. He said black people have been spoiled with leadership, and it's actually hurt us, because it's like there's always been a leader, whether it's Marcus Garvey, whether it's Malcolm X, whether it's Elijah Muhammad, whether it's Martin Luther King. And it's like you look at other communities, you really can't name a prominent Asian leader.
Oh, wow.
You don't have to, because I hear you, and I don't disagree with that, but they didn't have to because they didn't exactly have a systematic racism set up strictly for them.
Well, Asians did.
Well, not as much as black people, not with this country. So that is the difference. Like, no one goes back to what Claude Anderson said. No one goes around shooting Asians or Jews. You understand what I'm saying? I think there's an intimidation factor about the black man, that's where the real problem lies. It's a love-hate relationship between the black man and the white man that this country has never really been able to sit down and accept and say in a common sense way that this is fucking stupid and this is really crazy. I give you common sense. This is just sheer common sense. We never look at,
Nanny?
Never look at logical things. If I'm lower than you, if I'm a human being, right? And I believe you're lower than me. I believe your skin color makes you less than me. You are inferior. I am superior to you. Why the fuck would I put my baby in your hands? Would you ever do that? Would you ever in a million years put your child in someone that you feel is less human than you? Hands?
Yes, because even in slavery, you got to realize the black women was breastfeeding their...
Would you do that? I wouldn't do that,
but I'm saying if they're looking at it
saying if they did that, then how could you think I'm lower than you is what I'm saying.
Well,
you can't possibly think that. You can't really. There's no logic in that. Whatever you feel is too low for you, you want better for your kid.
I actually
want
to hear what he's gonna say.
Well, I was gonna say, yeah, you feel like certain jobs are beneath you or your kind, so you have somebody else that you feel is on that level do it.
And you want to touch? You
want
to
let them touch me?
You want to touch my child? I think you're less than me. But you can put your hands on my child.
The most sacred.
From a logical standpoint.
From a logical standpoint.
But are we talking about somebody that has logic?
Well, racism has no logic, if you think about it.
See what I'm saying?
Right.
There's no logic in racism.
Well, that's a good conversation.
So why? Now I'm going to get to why is there no logic?
Because it doesn't make sense.
Because number one, I'm not looking at you as humane, right? I'm not even looking at you as a full person, right? I don't want to do that, so you're going to do that.
Or maybe I know you're superior and I'm cool with having the advantage, So I don't want things to change.
That goes on for generations, right? You can see that now, right? It's like, look, I'm going to keep you here, and I'm going to, the mindset has been so bamboozled. It's like, yo, rather than me fearing you, you're fearing me, right? For all the things that you've done. But I want to go back to the part about the leaders, right? And we, same conversation, was like, we can't just have one because it's too easy to attack one, right? Like, if I know he's our leader, let's go get him. Yeah.
Right.
Let's assassinate him,
right?
But like, when Styles is a leader, when Shotty's a leader, when 19 Keys is a leader, Walsh, you can't attack them all. You see what I'm saying? That's why I think this time is so important, because we're seeing it. Like, this movement here that's starting, and like, that's why I said, like, what's happening here is so important. You can't burn this down, because it's too many.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And like, that's what's happening. Yeah. And I feel like, I think people can feel it. The powers that be, quote unquote, can feel it. So it's like, let me hold on to what we have left.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's true, because the people will support, the people will fight for us, you know, at the end of the day. So yeah, it's more of like, we are pillars of the community, but by choice of the people, you know, this is where they want us.
Right.
You know,
it's white supremacy's last stand. Everything has a run.
And I agree with
like
you.
It's like Custer's last stand. You always put up the biggest fight when you're at the end of your run.
Right, right, right.
And I feel like this is white supremacy's last stand, because it's not just America. You look at all over the world.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know.
That's why we got to stop asking for these same systems to be in play. Like, it has to be. Like, that's the one thing that drives me crazy, I think, more than anything. Like I say, I'm not judging what anyone else does. Think about everything that you deal with in your life. Every device. From your watch to your clothes to your car to papers to pens to typewriters. Now you could call your car on your phone, get driven in your car without you driving, but they never changed the Constitution. How? How is everything being reinvented with the paper that white gentlemen made when they didn't respect black people or women still controls this country? That's what it's based. But how this country is based off of that piece of paper. It's fucking ludicrous. We will never be in a position where we need to be as long as we keep accepting everything that we're handed. Even if we're going to go with the Democratic Party, what are we going to get out of it? If we go back to the Republican Party, which was the original black party, what are we going to get out of it? Are we going to finally mean something? And I think that's where we're going to get at the thing when we mean something. And I think everything will change. As for human beings, period.
There you have it, ladies.
November 3rd. This is a message from David Styles.
One last question. Do you really not write rhymes?
Oh, my God. Well, no. I can tell you the truth.
You write them.
Nope. There you go. No.
Surprise.
It really doesn't. No. It really doesn't.
When I was young, I'm not writing rhymes is not out of, let me say, I want to be clear. It's not a braggadocious thing for me. So I don't, you know, I really can't write rhymes. To be honest.
And your brain, it's just too quick, moving too quick.
It'd be too, I'll be keep writing and keep erasing. And as a youngin', I always had an offbeat, on-beat flow. So I couldn't look at the paper and remember how the rhyme goes. So for me, it's better to remember the, I couldn't look at the paper and remember the melody. And I always got rhymes in my head. So it's better off just
doing it
in my head. It's like an essay. I always looked at it as a child, as when you do an essay, when I'm just doing my own essay. It's like when you had to memorize the essay. Or a speech in school, I do the same exact thing, but
you listen to the beat
I'm
first.
Just doing it for myself. Well, it depends how I'm feeling. Sometimes the beat is telling me what to say. Sometimes it's a lot of different things that happen. You know, sometimes it could just be the ancestor channeling, sending me something, like, you know what I mean?
I've seen it happen.
Sometimes it's me working hard in my mind. I play a lot. Look, I'm going to show you how serious I am. See this game right here?
Oh, my God.
See what level I'm on?
What is
you see that?
You see the level?
You see that?
Yeah. See that level?
It's a lot of free time.
It's a high level.
It's a high level, bro.
I never played the game, but I'm assuming it's a high level.
5,304 boards. Yeah, I got 1,000 something in word stacks. So I play with words and keep, you know, I read.
That's a fun fact.
So,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I got to, this is it. This is my hip hop question. All right. Now, I'm not going to say best group, but I'm going to say best rhyming duo. We had this debate in the group chat.
Yeah, we had a serious debate.
It was like an hour debate.
It was a serious debate.
Obviously. Duo. Yeah. Now
we said
you and Kiss.
Well,
but they're not
a duo.
And so that was the argument.
Right. Well, they're not a duo.
De facto.
I'm just saying duo on a song. AZ and Nas came up.
No, Ray, well then I would have to agree with you if you're doing that.
Let me say my top five first.
Go ahead.
AZ and Nas. I named my son Nasir, so I'm partial. AZ and Nas, Ghostface and Raekwon. Go ahead. You and Kiss, of course. Then we threw in.
I had Outkast in.
Outkast. Can't forget about Outkast.
And who?
I had Outkast. Who
was your? And Mobb Deep.
Mobb Deep.
I think Havoc was more of a producer than. Definitely. But Prodigy was so good.
Definitely.
It was so good that it was just.
That left out Hov and Ye.
But that was manufactured. That wasn't organic.
No, I mean, they rhymed. Nah, well, I say it was organic because they've been in the studio making music together.
That wasn't
anything
the chat,
you can't,
bro.
You know, that's, I always say, didn't you forget EPMD, the original forefather of it all?
Eric Sermon and Parrish Smith, okay.
Yeah, Slick Rick and Dougie had a mean in and out.
We didn't go that far.
Y'all left out M.O.P. Their chemistry is incredible when they go out, and they're a duo.
On that level, though? On like Ghost and Ray? On Ghost and Ray? And you and
M.O.P.? Yeah, they in syncness is incredible.
Yeah, it is.
Their syncness is incredible. It's impeccable.
Shout out to M.O.P.
I'm going, y'all. I mean, maybe we're biased.
I'm going M.O.P. right after.
Was there ever?
AZ and Nas is, I like a lot of people together, though. AZ and Nas is super dope together. Just somebody I'm missing that's not coming in my head, though. It's all good.
Was there ever a time when you and Kiss was like, yo, we're going to do an album?
Cause yeah, we're going to give y'all an In-N-Out. We'll give y'all an In-N-Out EP, one of these, probably next year. In-N-Out EP.
They're definitely the best In-N-Out situation. I never really heard anybody that can pass.
I think we are the best In-N-Out as far as.
What's the best one? What's the best one, Jai? What's your favorite?
Ever?
Them too, yeah, Kiss and stuff.
I mean, Band from TV, of course, that's classic. We gonna make it as classic. It's a lot, but Band from TV is my personal favorite.
Yeah,
because that was just amazing.
Yeah.
Everybody on the record,
went stupid.
Yep,
Nori.
Nah, don't do that.
No, shout out to Nori. But I'm just saying on that song.
Right.
Is it the best? If we had to rate them, probably the worst. I don't even want to say the worst verse.
I got the worst verse. But it's all good. I mean, it's not personal. If you had to do a versus battle, who would you battle?
Anybody.
No, but who would you want to battle?
Me personally or the group, you mean?
You personally.
Well, they're trying to put him with Beans.
Beanie Siegel.
Ooh.
One of the greatest rappers of all time.
Yeah, definitely. That's
glad you got it. Glad you squashed that situation.
That's my favorite.
That was tough for us. Because that's his favorite rapper of all time.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I would say Kiss won. I was saying Kiss won regardless, just because you got to go with the whole team.
That was a time because we were Rockefeller heads and obviously 914. And that was a crazy time.
That was an interesting.
But it was a moment, though. I appreciate the moment. Y'all giving it to us.
Who you said that they try to team him up with? Oh,
Beans.
Mm-hmm. As a group, I don't think that anybody can really. I don't know if that's
a
really.
Yeah, me either.
It's kind of weird. No, I don't know if that you can measure them up. Maybe Dipset would be good.
It's fun. It's fun. That's not like good.
There it goes. There it goes, right. Ladies and gentlemen.
Shout out to all of them.
Love is love.
Love is love.
Love is love.
We want to thank you guys. Greatly appreciate it. What would you like to tell the public? Any new ventures or how to contact your website, the different juice locations?
Pharmacies for Life.
Okay. Pharmacy for Life. That's with an F.
Pharmacy for Life.
And that's online. And we have the four juice bars.
Juices for Life and juicesforlife.com coming very soon.
We had juicesforlife.ny.com,
but we got actual juicesforlife.com. So catch us. Tell them your social media, boo.
Ajua Styles. Instagram.
Yep.
I don't use Twitter.
Mrs. Ajua Styles on Twitter.
I am Styles P
on IG and Twitter. Most of all, if you're listening and you was paying attention, make sure you get a juicer. Make sure you get a blender. Besides our juice bar, just anywhere you go, take pictures of the menus, go online, see recipes, incorporate fruits, veggies in your life. The season's about to change. Not just our products, but make sure you get black seed oil, oil of oregano. We don't sell this, but get andrographis if you can. Get vitamin C.
Elderberry
syrup, zinc. Make sure you run, you sweat,
yes.
You sleep, you stretch, you pray, be thankful, be cool, and keep your health intact. Spread the word. Love is love. We love you. Styles fam.
And yes. E3 will hike by me.
Yep.
And we love you.
Peace. That's me.
You see, I didn't even look at my notes that I took for this interview.
I didn't have to
prep for this interview.
I said, man, we grew up on it, man.
So yeah. Thank you guys for rocking with us.
You're welcome.
And young entrepreneurs, follow your dreams, do something you love, study as much as you can, and hang around smarter people.
Yes.
That's good advice.
Peace.
Peace. We'll see y'all next week, y'all. Love is love.